Giannis Antetokounmpo was a man amongst boys, putting up 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks, and the Bucks needed every one of them to beat a game Suns team. The Bucks winning game 6 of the NBA Finals to capture the franchise's first championship in a half century. They did so in front of an insane sellout crowd of more than 17,000 fans inside the arena, along with 65,000 fans crammed into the Deer District surrounding the building. Antetokounmpo's 50 points were tied for the most all-time in a closeout game in NBA Finals. He was named series MVP unanimously, doing it all the right way.
I wanted to get the job done, you know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
I need his energy right now. I need his intensity. Big Perk back here with us. Max, let me ask you this, and I was looking forward to this debate all show. What would you rather have? Would you rather have KD's 2 rings with the Warriors joining a super team or, quote, do it the right way and have 1 ring like Giannis?
This is a trick question. It's Giannis by so much. It's by so much. And I say that even after saying they were lucky that KD and Harden and Kyrie weren't all healthy together. And that Kawhi got hurt in the West, and that AD got hurt in the West. Yes, they were lucky, but you know why? Because if you put Kyrie, Harden, and KD on the same team, you've constructed a can't-lose team. The rings that KD won are even worse than that. He joined a 73-win team, the all-time record, that already won one championship, that came within a shot of winning another championship. They couldn't lose at that point. When you create a situation where you can't lose, you don't prove the same kind of things. We already know that KD is very skilled, as Stephen A. said. But you don't prove the other stuff we really want to know about, what a championship tells us about your grit, about your determination, about your ability to overcome obstacles, because there are no obstacles if you put an MVP-caliber player onto 73. Not only that, the death lineup in 2015 that the Warriors ran out, Harrison Barnes was the weakest link. They exchanged their weakest link. They replaced it with the strongest link in the NBA other than LeBron. They replaced Harrison Barnes in the death lineup that was considered invincible with Kevin Garnett. So, yeah, guess what? Garnett won back-to-back finals MVPs. I don't think he deserved both of them. LeBron deserved at least one of those. But you know why? Because you have too much to worry about on that team. Who's going to stop Kevin Durant? You got to worry about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And then you have Iguodala and Draymond Green, too. It's ridiculous. Of course you can. Giannis, when he hit the podium and said the right way, stayed right where he was, took a cast of non-superstars, 2 quasi-stars, almost stars, and won a championship with a string of performances as good as any we've ever seen in the playoffs and capped it with a 50-point night that makes us question today, is this the greatest closeout performance ever? His 3rd 40-plus double-digit rebound night in the same series. Yes, Giannis's ring means more, and everybody knows it.
Well, you could say it means more, Max Kellerman, and I'm not going to refute that, but what I would tell you to answer the question directly is that I'm sorry if this isn't a direct answer, but it's a matter of preference. I think about LeBron, who really, really started all of this when we talk about super teams being assembled. Or you could actually start it in Boston, because I thought that was a super team that Kendrick Perkins was on when you got KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Rondo. I mean, damn, that's lethal. But let's start with LeBron. So let's see. I'm here in Giannis, and I'm Milwaukee, and it's my team, and I stayed here, and I got Jrue Holiday and Middleton, and we go through trials and tribulations. It's my team, but, you know, ultimately I carry us to a championship, which is a very legitimate and authentic thing, and it's special. When I think about LeBron, I'm thinking about D-Wade as my teammate. I'm thinking about Bosh. I'm thinking about that second go-round, how Ray Allen joined the squad. And I'm thinking about the fact that I'm in South Beach. I don't mind that. That's not a problem that I have. I think that's a beautiful thing. Okay? And then on top of it all, everywhere I go on the road, it's like the Beatles. It's like the Beatles have showed up, Max. It's like the Beatles have come to town and all of that stuff. And we're the story. You know, I kind of like that. You understand what I'm saying? I
mean, showing your true colors.
We've been number one for 9 years. You know, I mean, I kind of like that. Then we transition to KD. And KD, no, you know I didn't like the move to Golden State. We all know that I'm on the record with that. But I throw it, Max, to a dude from 35 feet away from the basket, and it's like hit layups. And, oh, by the way, he ain't the only dude that I could throw it to from 35 feet away from the basket, and it's like a layup. And, oh, by the way, Max Kellerman, Kendrick Perkins could tell you this, that crowd inside of the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin last night was electrifying. I mean, it was something special to be a part of, to be in there, to hear that roar of the crowd. And it's even more special when we consider the fact that we're just coming off of COVID, or we're still in the throes of COVID, but you know what I'm saying in terms of last year bubble play compared to what it is now. But Max, it wasn't an Oracle. You've been at Oracle.
Yeah.
You were there for game 7.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is this. It's about preference, my brother. I understand I'm not taking anything away from Giannis and what you said. But if you're talking to me, KP, about preference, well, let's see. It's the Oracle with two of the greatest shooters, the greatest shooting backcourt that we've ever seen, or rock star treatment. And my home turf is South Beach. I'm sorry, but as a matter of preference, I have no problem with LeBron or KD in that regard. I would have preferred that. That's just me.
Well, here it is, right? When you talk about super teams and you talk about guys like KD, you talk about guys like Braun, you even can talk about the 08 Celtics, right? The thing is this, okay, you go and join a super team or you form a super team, I get that part, but it's still a hard thing, Max. And the thing I didn't like what you said was it's not even close, and it is close because when you form a super team, it's so much pressure. It's on you, eyes are on you to actually deliver a championship. Now, we could go back to the Lakers when they had three-peated, and then they added, I know he was old at the time, but Karl Malone and the Gary Payton, and we could consider that as a super team, and we saw that they didn't get it done. They ran through everybody in the postseason until they got up against the bad boys from Detroit, the new generation, and Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace. But here it is. My deal is I would rather Giannis championship, a team that I was drafted by, a place where I stayed and delivered, built from the ground up. I had guys come in. I was drafted. He spoke on him and Chris Middleton relationship last night and how they've been through the trenches and how they support one another. And then you add a guy like Jrue Holiday, who's an all-star caliber player, but not a superstar caliber player, and then you get it done, right? No matter what happened, you get it done. So I would take Giannis just because of how he did it and the journey that he went through. Now, to add one more point to that, here it is, we have to remember, sometimes when guys do form with super teams and they go other places, they still have in the back of their mind that they have unfinished business at that other place. That's why LeBron James went back to Cleveland. That's why LeBron James will tell you the Cleveland championship probably meant more to him than any other championship because he delivered it in the place he was drafted in his hometown.
Well, I just want to make a distinction here, guys, because Stephen A., you brought up, and I know what you mean about lifestyle and your preferences, but you brought up the Miami squad. I would have given KD more credit for this Brooklyn win, even though they still have the most talent, because throwing guys together is harder than – it's harder to win that first year, as we saw in Miami, than it is – like, what KD did was different, guys. The Boston Celtics with the team that you were on, Perk, Garnett was an MVP-level player. But Pierce and Ray Allen weren't. Let's just be honest. They were all-star level players. And
they Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but there is a difference. But you could say, who's better, this guy or that guy? The MVP level is better than the all-star level. Pierce and Ray Allen are Hall of Famers. There are higher levels of player. Like, for example, Kevin Garnett. That was what the Warriors had. They had an MVP player in Steph. They had an all-star in Clay, an all-star in Dre, a great player in Iguodala, and they added to a team that was already functioning an MVP all-time great in his prime. That is completely different than what all these other circumstances are. That's why those rings, to me, it's like you couldn't not win. How do you not win if they just won 73 games, came a play away, and then you add KD? That's different than LeBron. That's a super-duper team. It's different.
Well, let me say a couple of things. Number one, Paul Pierce was called the truth for a reason, because he closed. Number two, Ray Allen, I would remind you that if it wasn't for the exceptionalism of Steph Curry, I would remind you that the all-time three-point king would be Ray Allen. This brother was something special. And by the way, I just recently heard he was in some kind of bike accident or whatever. I hope he's all right. Nothing but the best to that brother. I love Ray Allen. So I want to say that. The other thing that I will say to you is this. Again, Giannis did it the right way. He did it the Jordan way. He did it the Kobe way. He did it the Tim Duncan way. We get all of that. We understand that. Okay? And I'm not taking anything away from him. But I would like to point out that this season, above many, many others, has proven just because you assemble something doesn't mean that it necessarily works out. Look at what happened to the Brooklyn Nets. So the point that I'm trying to make to you is that we can point to injury, Max, but when other things come into the equation, like you coming into camp out of shape, yep. Or if you Kyrie, you thinking you don't really, really need a coach because you're so exceptional and you didn't think about the fact that other young cats might be called upon to raise up their game because you get hurt, but they weren't prepared because they weren't receiving the necessary coaching that they could have received. There's a lot of different components that go into being successful, not just even after you assemble a crew. And the bottom line is, I can't dismiss the championships that KD earned, nor that LeBron earned, because they still had to work their butts off in order to become champions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The Dallas Cowboys open camp today looking for a bounce back season. You hear that, Stephen A? With Dak Prescott healthy again, Dallas also featured on Hard Knocks, somebody rudely calling it Soft Knocks. Not okay. The defending champs, Tampa Bay, will hold their first practice on Sunday. Tommy Brady and the Bucks getting a head start as usual because they're playing that opening game, of course, on Thursday night. And the Steelers take part in their first practice tomorrow as well. They'll face the Cowboys. Okay, Stephen A., both your squads in the Hall of Fame game. You should go to that as they hope to reverse the trend from last season when they lost 4 of 5. So Big Ben, what?
Why would I do that? Why would I contaminate myself by exposing myself to the Cowboys before I have to?
I thought you were a Steelers fan. I thought you would want to be a Cowboys, but it's a meaningless game.
The Cowboys are now determined to make a deep postseason run. Yeah. Apparently, they weren't determined the last time, but now they're determined.
Yeah. You mean Soft Knocks?
Yes,
you mean Soft Knocks.
So disrespectful.
Fits the defense.
All right. Big Ben ended last season with tears in his eyes, talk of retirement, but he's back. So, Stephen A., do you believe he will have a bounce-back season?
Absolutely. I do believe he'll have a bounce-back season because I think that the defense will still be elite with Minka Fitzpatrick and the crew. Still got Stephon to it and the rest of those guys. But I also think that offensively, you look at the five-headed monster. I know there's some questions about their offensive line. I think that Mike Tomlin is going to shore that up. As their weapons, I've got Chase Claypool. I've got Juju Smith-Schuster back. I've got James Washington. I've got Eric Ebron. I've got a crew of dudes that can Deontay Johnson. So I got about five dudes that played together last year that's going to be back this year. And I finally have a running game because this brother, Najee Harris, out of Alabama, can ball. Finally, I've been waiting for this dude. I've been waiting for somebody throughout the draft, the night of the NFL draft. I sat there praying. Just let him fall. Steelers, if I remember correctly, had like the 24th pick. I'm like, just let him fall. Just let this guy fall. He was the only thing on my mind the night of the NFL draft. I ain't care about anything else. I mean, it's going to be nice to watch Trey Lance in a 49ers uniform and some other stuff going on, Luke Wilson with the Jets and others. But my mind was on Najee Harris falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it happened, baby. And so now you got Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to have a running game for the first time in about 4 years or so, at least 4 years, okay? He's going to have a running game to go with that passing game. You ain't going to ask him to throw 50 times in order to win a football game. Might have to throw over 30, maybe even 40 a couple of times. But Najee Harris is going to be that dude. And that's all I needed. Steelers will rebound. Big Ben Roethlisberger will rebound. And the Steelers are taking the AFC North.
I mean, that's I'm not talking to an objective person.
No,
that's
you're not.
That's the first thing, Molly. Yeah. We all recognize.
Oh,
it's
really?
Heart.
Mr.
No
Big
head.
Blue and Danny Dimes and how he's the stormy. Oh,
here
you're
go.
Not talking
oh,
to an objective
dude. Please let the Giants actually
really?
Be good this year. Please.
Playoff run.
I need something positive, please.
When
please.
I do it, I'm – no, listen, we all have our rooting interests, but – clearly, Stephen A., yours are here on display. First of all, Ben Roethlisberger, in terms of a bounce-back year, he was pretty good for most of last year, actually. You know, for a guy coming off an injury, a catastrophic injury.
Until the end of the season.
38 years old. He was without an offensive line. They couldn't protect the passer. They couldn't block for the run. He had to get the ball out quick. And it's a totally new style for him, too. He did it well. Till the end of the season, he wore down.
Yeah.
Guys, a lot of the run problem with the run game is about the O-line. And by the way, Marquise Pouncey retired and Villanueva's with the Ravens now. If anything, I think the line will be worse. And I think in terms of Najee Harris, Stephen A., you can make the argument, and Villanueva said it, they weren't committed enough to the run. So maybe they can block for the run better if they commit to it more the way Tomlin, when he took the job all those years back, said Steelers football, run the ball, stop the run, right? They can stop the run, but they could not run the ball. And that compounded the problem for Roethlisberger. But they're going to have to show me that that's just an attitude adjustment because they had no running game, and that's almost always the fault of the offensive line. Any back in the NFL behind a good line will get a bunch of yards. You know, the fact is they were getting nothing from the run. That compounded the problem because Roethlisberger didn't have time to throw the ball. And in addition to that, they're playing up for the run. I don't see where that changes. I don't see where the offensive line gets any better. And therefore, even if you have a dynamic back, I don't know how much better the run game gets. I don't see Roethlisberger being better this year than last.
Top three defense against the pass, top three defense in points allowed and yards allowed. I think this Steelers defense is going to be big time. It's going to be legit. It's going to give them opportunities to do some things on offense. And I think they'll be playing ahead instead of behind most of the time. And even though I get your point about offensive lines, what I would remind you of, Max, is this. Dallas's offensive line once upon a time was big time. But guess what? Their running game elevated to another level once it was Ezekiel Elliott in that backfield instead of his predecessors. You being able to run the football is not a foregone conclusion. And it is a completely and totally contingent on that offensive line. We've seen teams with decent offensive lines, if not better than that, that didn't have stout running games because they didn't have that runner. I'm saying if you're a special running back, you can make a difference. And you can make offensive lines look good, too. And I think Najee Harris is one of those dudes.
Well, time will tell. DeMarco Murray looked pretty good behind that Cowboys offensive line. You're right, though. Not
Zeke. 1 year,
the premier
when they
guy,
ran, had him run 392 times and then threw him away like the garbage.
The premier guys behind a good offensive line will get more yards than the average guys, no doubt about it. But I don't know if a premier guy can turn a bad line into a good one. Time will tell.
Yeah, all I know is I'm so excited for football season. Get a nice spread, have people over, watch games all day, wear your jackets, the best weather. Fall's the best. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. The NBA Finals was a two-act play with Phoenix racing out to a 2-0 series lead at home behind Chris Paul. CP3 shot nearly 60% from deep and averaged 28 points per game in those two games. Then he pulled off a bit, averaging under 20 points per game from game three on, committing 13 turnovers and shooting worse from inside and outside the arc. And the Suns' performance dropped as well, losing four straight to close out the finals. Phoenix shot 30% or worse from deep in three of the final four games. Kendrick Perkins back with us. Stephen A., another disappointing end to the season for CP3. Is this it for him? Has his championship window officially closed?
I think so. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. And who knows? He could end up departing from Phoenix because, remember, he's got a player option scheduled to be paid $44 million this year, but he can opt out and get a two-year deal at about $70 million. A three-year deal at about $100 million. You just never know with the money that's out there where he could end up. But assuming that he stays put, even though I expect Phoenix to make some noise because I believe in them, I just think that the West is getting stronger and stronger. Kawhi's probably going to stay with the Clippers. Unless that changes, they'll be formidable. We know that we believe the Suns would have lost to them if Kawhi had not gotten hurt. Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be back. We don't know where Damian Lillard's going to be moved to. Klay Thompson is expected to be back healthy. And you know, him and Steph will be there as well. Plus, they got two first-round picks, two top 15 picks in the upcoming NBA draft. And so I look at all of those things, and I just say to myself, you know, to be 36 years of age, to be the best player on the court for the Phoenix Suns last night, to be in your 16th year, to be this close, and for this opportunity to slip through your fingers, you just found yourself thinking that this was CP3's lone chance, because I just brought up the West. I didn't bring up Brooklyn in the East. I didn't bring up Milwaukee in the East. I didn't bring up Philly in the East. I didn't bring up Atlanta in the East. Who knows who could end up in Miami? I didn't bring that up. I just think that it's too much of a daunting task to expect that at this point in time in his career that there's another opportunity laying down the road for CP3. I think it came and it went last night.
Yeah, probably. But you have to acknowledge, given how long guys are playing nowadays, given how well Chris Paul played this year, and given the fact that he could always ring chase, although Giannis boxed these dudes with what he said last night, like it's going to be a little bit harder for them to save face ring chasing now. But given that he could purchase it, he could say, all right, I'm going to take a little less money and go, or a lot less money and go join the Lakers, for example. But his championship window has closed with this Suns team, and in a larger way has probably closed. In other words, I don't think Chris Paul's future is one in which he is one of, let's say, the two best players on a championship team. If you hang around long enough, you can be a nice addition to a team that will win a championship without being the best or maybe not the second best player on the team eventually. This, you pointed it out in the Western Conference. Golden State is going to be back next year to what they were pre-Durant, which is not what they were with Durant, but it was pretty damn good. It was great, in fact. The Lakers, if AD and LeBron stays healthy, I still like them better than everyone else. I don't think Kawhi is going to be there next year, given the nature of his injury, at least not as Kawhi Leonard until maybe later in the season, maybe not even then. Time will tell, but it doesn't even need, we don't even need to talk about the Clippers. Jamal Murray with the Nuggets, that's a whole lot, guys. Nuggets keep getting better. The Utah Jazz, if they stay healthy. The reason they had such a golden opportunity this year is because they were the healthiest team in the Western Conference. AD went down. LeBron was compromised, but AD went down. Jamal Murray wasn't there. And then Kawhi went down. He didn't play against them. That's why they got out of the West. This was Chris Paul's shot. That's why I thought so much of his legacy was riding on his play in games 5 and 6 to get to a game 7. And that's why I was rooting for him so hard, and I'm so disappointed today and sad for him. Guys, he could still wind up with a ring, but we all know what we mean when we say, like, he won a ring. We mean when he was a great, great player, when he had a team and was in the nucleus of the best players on the team. And I think that ship has sailed unless he really hardcore ring chases this upcoming season.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It all depends on what CP3 wants, right? I think that window is still open. And it all depends on what direction he want to go. Is he about his money or he's about going trying to get an actual ring? And, Max, one thing I do agree with you on, he's not a first or second option guy right now. We saw that not going deep into the playoffs. He could get you through the regular season. He's a third option guy when it comes down to winning the championship. And I think, you know, if he consider maybe going join the Los Angeles Lakers, I think then that ups his chances. When you look at the Western Conference right now, you mentioned Jamal Murray. He's coming off an ACL injury. And as a guy that came off an ACL injury, yes, you are able to get back on the court 7 months later, but you're not at your full strength 100% from where you were till like 21 months later. And these are facts. And so when you look at the Western Conference and when you look at Kawhi Leonard possibly being out for the entire season, the West is really wide open. And the Lakers still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and still could add pieces. You add a CP3 to that team, I think they'll be a heavy favorite to coming out of the Western Conference, and then after that, you let the chips fall where they may. You could rely on the healthy Anthony Davis. We saw what he was capable of doing when he was healthy, when he helped lead the Los Angeles Lakers to a championship, the type of numbers he was putting up during that run. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that the window is closed for CP3. It's on CP3 what's next for him and what he want for us towards the end of his career, because Gary Payton won the championship late in his career when we thought the window had closed when he went down to South Beach.
Well, I will tell you this. Gary Payton was a contributor, but we rarely ever acknowledge Gary Payton
right.
as a champion. And that's not to take anything away from him. It's just that the Gary Payton that we saw in Miami, the Gary Payton that we saw in L.A. was not the Gary Payton we saw in Seattle. The glove that had put you in lockdown mode and was clearly the star of that franchise along with Sean Kemp. So I get where you're coming from, Perk, but I would tell you this. Another component that we can't ignore is where Damian Lillard is going to end up, because obviously that could be another roadblock for CP3 as well, depending on where Damian Lillard ends up going, particularly if he stays in the Western Conference. In the end, what it comes down to is that there's nothing wrong with CP3 not being a 1 or 2 option, because as a quintessential point guard, he really isn't supposed to be anyway. He's supposed to be the guy that sets up opportunities for other guys so they can shine as 1 and 2 options. But he hasn't had that available to him. And unless he joins a franchise where that possibility is there for him, I don't see how he's going to win the championship with the multitude of teams that are legitimate, bona fide championship contenders.
Well, and here's one way. Here's one way, Stephen A. I think the odds are slim, but it could happen. He's playing at a very high level. And nowadays, guys play later into their careers than they used to. If he can keep this up for 3 or 4 more years, more or less, let's say he didn't leave the Suns, Booker will get better. You could see how hungry he was after the game. Like, he's going to learn from this experience. Ayton will get better. So maybe, even if there are at least 3 or 4 teams at least as good as them, if you take enough bites at the apple, one of those years they'll break through, maybe get a little lucky again with injury. That's possible. I want to say something about the Lakers. If CP3 opts out and signs for a deal that the Lakers can afford, because they're capped out otherwise, right? CP3, LeBron, and AD is the only possible answer for a healthy Nets team. I want to be very clear about this. The Nets this year, had they been healthy, would have smoked the NBA. No one would have gotten, and I don't think anyone gets two games off them. I don't know, even know if the Lakers were healthy. The Lakers would have gotten two. But with CP3, LeBron, and AD can counteract Kyrie, Harden, and KD. I don't know who wins, Max, but that's an even matchup.
The problem with what you're saying, Matt, real quick, KP, the problem with what you're saying, Max, is this. Brooklyn's situation was of their own doing on three levels. Harden coming into camp out of shape because he wanted out of Houston, and ultimately that lingering hamstring injury, not being able to escape that. That had a lot to do with his conditioning. I love Harden. I root for him, but that's a fact.
Yep.
Number two, Kyrie Irving, all right? The ankle on all of that stuff might play a role, but remember, on at least two couple of occasions, I'm not talking about the birth of his kid. I'm talking about two previous occasions. He just took time off. It wasn't specific as to why that was the case, and you had people wondering about him. And number three, the hiring of Steve Nash. Love Steve Nash, respect the hell out of him. We know where I stand on his hire because he had absolutely no coaching experience whatsoever. Kyrie Irving was on the record saying, we don't really need coaching because Kyrie Irving was thinking about Kyrie. He wasn't thinking about those other young players who could have used seasoned, experienced coaching.
Hey, real quick,
so when
Stephen
you look
A.
at Brooklyn, Kirk. When you look at Brooklyn and you talk about what got in their way, I'm sorry, Max, they have a lot to
valid.
Do with what
valid.
Got in their way.
Valid. That's all. Everything you said is valid. What I'm saying is this upcoming season, you have all that information still. Who you taking in the East?
I'm taking Brooklyn.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And if you want to who are you taking for the title?
Are you taking Brooklyn for the title? Yeah.
If CP3 goes to the Lakers, then I don't know who wins the title if everyone's healthy.
Well, here's the thing that we all got to be mindful of at this moment, right? With Milwaukee winning the championship and now James Harden being officially on the Nets, right? Because the trade happened during the season. This is going to be an interesting offseason. So, teams are going to get better. Teams are going to make moves. Guys are going to relocate to different situations. And I think we're going to all be sitting back saying, man, because right now, if I'm a free agent or if I'm a guy on the outside looking in that's looking for a ring or looking for a place to go compete for a championship, look, Milwaukee Bucks are eye candy to me. Playing with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday is eye candy to me. So you just never know what could happen. Like, we just saw this with Golden State. We saw this with an organization who drafted Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. They won the title together from the ground up, from the foundation up. And what happened? They became eye candy, and they lured a guy like Kevin Durant. You just never know what could happen.
Mm-hmm. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to win it all next year. I'm just saying. We'll be on the
CP3
roof.
We'll
have the fans.
The Lakers,
we'll
what would you think?
I don't know. I don't see that happening. But that's just me. Guess what, Perk? You get a couple days off, then we'll see you out here for the draft. Thank you, thank you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
It was just December when Giannis signed the Supermax to stay in Milwaukee, and now he's an NBA champion. The Greek freak showed up, scoring 50, grabbing 14 boards and 5 blocks. At age 26 and leading a young Bucks team, this might just be the start for Giannis. Stephen A., will Giannis win more titles with this Bucks team?
I think so. My answer would be yes. I think that, you know, getting that proverbial monkey off your back. Not that it really rained on him the way that it does on other players, but the fact that he got it done, you're a champion now, and that pressure is shredded from your shoulders. Not just for him, but for a stud like Middleton, whose mid-range game is pure. For a guy like Jrue Holiday, who didn't have another good shooting night last night, but find different ways to beat you. Along with Bobby Portis and P.J. Tucker, I'm so happy for him. James Harden, Dwight Howard, CP3, Russell Westbrook, all departed from Houston looking for a crown. Even though Dwight got his last year, P.J. Tucker got his now. I'm really, really happy for him. When you look at what they have together, and they're already a champion, pressure's no longer on them. That can make them even more lethal.
I don't see it. I think they'll be competitive. I agree with you about P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker and Brooke Lopez are the right kind of fits on a team with Jrue Holiday and Middleton. Everything fits very nicely at a certain level. And Giannis is a monster, but at a certain level. Even I can't get over the memory of a Nets team without James Harden. Of all of the players on the Nets, the guy who, to me, made them, like, impossible. I know you say KD. I said Harden played the best basketball of his career last year. I thought game for game was the best player in the league in both conferences. Without Harden, they were beating the brakes off the Bucks. An average margin of like 20, 25 points. Without Harden? And then when the Bucks finally won a game, it was by a slim margin in a great defensive effort from the Nets. Again, no James Harden. And then no Harden or Kyrie. And Harden comes back. He's not himself, obviously. It gets to a game 7. If KD's foot's not on the line, if KD hits an open shot, they lose right there. Again, no Harden, no Kyrie. No real Harden, no Kyrie. If the Nets are healthy, the Bucks don't even have a chance next year. They don't have a chance. It's a blow. Like, the Nets are so much better than
Max.
The Bucks. If they're healthy, I'm taking into account what you're saying about, hey, Kyrie's sometimes not there. Harden was whatever. But then even if they got past the Nets, Stephen A., they got to get past the Lakers, AD, and LeBron. You can't just rely on injury every year.
Max Kellerman.
He's about to fall
asleep. The question wasn't about next year. The question was, will Giannis win more titles in Milwaukee? He's 26. Mm-hmm. We don't know how long James Harden and Kyrie and KD going to last in Brooklyn. LeBron's got about 2 years left in L.A. The question was, will you win more titles in Milwaukee? It wasn't, will you win next year? So I'm looking at Giannis at age 26. Do you believe, Max, that this is his last title of his career?
It's a good point. I would say that it is possible if he stays in Milwaukee his entire career that we are not done seeing him win championships in Milwaukee. How would I peg the odds? I don't even know if I'd make it 50-50, but it's a good point.
I think I could see Giannis winning 3 titles in his career, Max. I could see him winning 3.
The problem is it's difficult for Milwaukee to attract top-flight players, and they don't ownership doesn't seem willing to.
But it's presently constructed. As presently constructed, where's Jrue Holiday or Middleton going in terms of their game? See, when we look at somebody like Russell Westbrook, his athleticism is off the charts. He's just almost superhuman for crying out loud. But you do know that there's a window on that because how much longer is that going to last because of his athleticism? The same way we once looked at Derrick Rose. Giannis ain't going to get below 6'11". Middleton's mid-range game is his mid-range game. Jrue Holiday's ability to play defense could be there for years to come. It is entirely conceivable that over the course of the next 3-4 years, Milwaukee could capture a couple of more titles. Not back-to-back or anything like that, but they could do it.
In today's day and age, almost always you'll have another team with 2 superstars on it, sometimes 3, once in a while 3. I don't think the Bucks are capable of beating that kind of team.
Mm. All right, let's talk about Devin Booker, guys, because he also lit it up all playoffs long, led the Suns in points per game, minutes played in these finals. He also had back-to-back 40-point performances in games 4 and 5. Max, what do you think Booker proved in these finals?
Well, he proved that he has the Mamba mentality, good and bad. You know, he can score on anyone. He can score in double against double and triple teams. He has every offensive move and counter in the book. But also, like Kobe, sometimes at the end of games will have tunnel vision. Kobe, the late, great Kobe Bryant, the closest thing we've seen to Michael Jordan, was the greatest bad shot maker in history. Jordan didn't, it was also a great bad shot maker, didn't take as many bad shots. Jordan found the open man a little bit more. And I think Booker is going to need to take a page out of Jordan's book in that respect. Have a little less tunnel vision when it matters most, Stephen A., And from listening to what he said at the post-game presser, sometimes you think a loss is devastating a guy and maybe he won't be the same afterward. I got the distinct impression Booker will be better than ever next year as a result of this loss.
I think he will be better than ever as well. And I've had to deal with a lot of fools coming at me because I said he was the next Kobe. Tell me where you see the next Kobe. Well, he averaged 28 during these finals on 45% shooting. He had back-to-back 40-point games, even though both were losses. He had to be the man in his first ever appearance in the postseason. When Kobe did that, he had Shaq. And there was a difference. And so when you look at even though he's slightly smaller than Kobe, his mid-range game, his elevation on his jump shots, his fall away, his marksmanship at times, his ability to get to the hole. I thought he dribbled too much. I thought he tried to engage in hero ball. There were times in Kobe's young career where we accused him of that as well. It's not to say he's better than Kobe. When we say he's next, it's like he's very much like Kobe. Kobe tried to emulate MJ. A lot of his game, to some degree, was a lot like MJ. He was never MJ. He was never accused of being better than MJ. But what Kobe brought to the table was very Jordan-esque in certain respects. And we recognized it while not going far enough to say he was Jordan 2.0. That's what I'm saying is the level of respect we could accord Devin Booker, particularly when we consider the fact that he's just 24 years of age and he is coming.
If the question is Booker more like Kobe or Kobe more like Jordan? Kobe's more like Jordan than Booker is like Kobe. But Stephen A., I'm sick of people saying you can't compare. Of course you can compare. There are elements of someone or someone reminds you of someone else. Doesn't mean you're saying the other dude's as good as him. You're saying that he's got a piece of his game or elements of his style. And obviously that's true of Booker and Kobe.
No, that's fair. All right, let me ask you this, guys. I've said the odds all show. So, obviously, it's the Nets next year with the best odds, then the Lakers, then it's the Bucks. There, you can see it up there for yourself. Stephen A., who do you think meets in the finals next season? Do you think it's chalk, Nets, Lakers, what we expected this year?
Believe it or not, I'm still going to say Nets, Lakers. But if Kawhi stays with the Clippers and he ends up healthy, I wouldn't rule out the Clippers as well. I definitely am going to give the edge to the Brooklyn Nets because I think Harden, Kyrie, and KD healthy together, I think is an unstoppable juggernaut of a force, and I don't think anybody would beat them. The West is going to be interesting. We'll see what happens.
And also, you got to think of the Warriors. They have Wiseman, and they have a very high pick in this draft, Stephen A.
They're
and given
the
what their front office is capable of doing, let's see what the Warriors roster looks like heading into this season. They may be a juggernaut, too.
You are 100% right. I totally just slept on the Warriors and kind of forgot
that. I've been saying that if Klay comes back, they're going to the conference finals at the very least.
Yeah, and it's what they might bring in. Wiseman and the number 7 pick might get you someone.
Listen, these were incredible finals, but already looking forward to next year because we're missing so many superstars in these finals. All right. Huge congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks, to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Stephen, get
incredible
like a week worth
finals.
Of sleep.
Yes, Stephen A., take a big old
y'all
nap.
Y'all might not find
goodbye,
me.
Goodbye, everybody.
I'm out. Sleep eventually.
Day. We'll be back tomorrow, or at least
I
will.
I'll get some sleep.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.